when you are debating between moving on from what you're saying, the materialistic, to a different lifestyle, which would be Israel, but you have a family, but your inside is saying, go, 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 you know, it keeps on...
Go where?
To Israel.
To Israel.
Oh, okay. So who's the, depends who's the family?
Not a big family.
It depends if the family is a husband, if it's cousins, if it's kids.
Oh, yeah, no, it's the husband, and well, and it's the son. That's my family right now, my immediate family.
And they don't want to go?
No, in a minute, just in a minute. And I say, well, for me, the minute has been pretty...
30 years. So you're asking how to convince your husband and son to go?
Can you say, okay, yeah, I'm on my way.
Yeah, this is your truth and this is his truth, and
exactly,
how can it work?
Exactly.
You married, and how come when we married you have one that has his truth and one that doesn't have the same truth, and how to combine it?
Doesn't want to see it or scared.
The thing is like this. The thing is that a husband and wife are a perfect fit. Custom made. The real husband and wife, not the 90% of the couples that get married here in North America based on how much zeros are in the bank account. But the real marriage, it's a custom fit. It's the same soul. It's the same soul that before it comes down to the world, there's a certain angel that cuts the soul in half. And one part of the soul goes into the female, and one part of the soul goes into the male. And then one falls in San Diego, one falls in Los Angeles or New York, and all their life they go around and whoop, they meet in a bar, a good tequila, and that's it. Chas v'shalom. That's the problem. That's the problem is when they meet in the bar. So,
is this real life?
That's the reality. If they're lucky, they will meet. Because unfortunately, tomorrow we're having a very interesting lecture about this topic in LA. The topic of the lecture is fishing the right soulmate. Because people go out in the dating world and they're trying to fish, in their mind, the right soulmate. It's not the right soulmate. Because just today, just this week when I came, I spoke to a young lady and she was talking to me about the shidduch. And she was like, he has these qualities, that qualities, how do I know? And the reality is that usually the Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you your other half that is everything you don't want. That's usually the case. Because your other half is your other half. He's not going to have what you have. He's going to have the complete opposite. If you take in electricity two minuses, there's not going to be a good result. You take two pluses, there's not going to be any result. You need a plus and a minus. Because everything in this world has to have what's called a friction. And that's how it works. You can take now the match and you can take the parts, I don't know how you call it in English, where you strike the match, put them now here, nothing's going to happen. You have to have a friction. In Hebrew it's called chikuch. So, same thing with the soulmates. You put them separately, nothing's going to happen. They have to be opposites and then they have to have friction constantly. That's why physically, not friction in a negative way. Friction means like a rubbing each other in different ways. That's why you see that the ultimate unity between a husband and wife is a physical unity, because they have to be connected in some way, but then they're separated. Connected, separated. So ultimately, your other half is the complete opposite. Now, if the connection is done the right way, then there's usually they see eye to eye. The problem is that 99% of the couples, the connection is not done the right way. So you might not relate with it. Some men will maybe relate with it. You take now two plates, metal plates, and try to screw them. If the screw goes a little bit, 1 millimeter crooked, it doesn't sit well. The screw doesn't go in well. It's in, it's holding it, but it's not 100%. Men maybe will more relate with it. You take two pieces of wood and you drill a screw. If the screw is 1 millimeter crooked, it's all going in crooked, and the woods, they're not 100% parallel, they're holding. So the same thing, if the connection between the husband and wife initially was not done 100% the right way, things are going to be crooked in the connection. A screw is going to be popping out here, here's going to be not aligned. And then the couple, they don't see eye to eye. It's friction constantly, the negative friction. Problem in the Shalom Bayit, one person wants to pull here, the other person wants to pull here. It's not that they're not, sometimes it's not the other half. And then there's two different opinions, and that's why it never works out. But if it's the real other half, what happens? It's two souls, two bodies, one soul. And then they meet. Now, it starts already at the time of the dating. That's why according to the Torah, when you date, you're not allowed to touch. No touching. Because when you touch something that doesn't belong to you at the wrong time, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a short circuit. That's why according to the Torah, Shomer Lingya, you're not allowed to touch. Not allowed to touch at all. Touching. Not talking about having relations. Touching. Why? Because the woman, before she's married to the husband, she asura. She's prohibited. Look at the bracha that we read under the chuppah. Amatir et asurim. Now, she's not prohibited anymore. Now, she's mine. Now, there's a connection. So it starts already at the dating process. That's why, unfortunately, even the couples that are the other half, and they were dating before the marriage, and I'm not judging anyone. I was like that myself, too. But they're together before the wedding. It causes a lot of problems throughout the way. The connection is not sitting very well. There's constantly fights. It's not that they don't love each other, don't like each other, they don't see eye to eye. In the past, there's too much cuts. And then, of course, it goes into the entire relationship before the wedding. Now, if you're talking about a secular couple, you know, the entire process till the wedding, it's all messed up. And I'm not saying it in Chas V'Shalom to judge anyone. I'm just painting the situation. And then it comes to the chuppah. The chuppah is not done the right way. It's not a real wedding. You can love each other till eternity. The chuppah is not a show. Everything you do in the chuppah, there's a mystical reason for that. Because at the time of the chuppah, the husband and wife are together, standing next to each other. That's when the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes the soul and sews them together. So if the chuppah is not kosher, then the connection, there's no connection. And 90% of the couples in America, they're not really married. Because the chuppah wasn't kosher. 90% of the Jewish couples in America, they're not really married. Why? Because they weren't particular that the chuppah will be kosher. Now, if the chuppah is not kosher, they can have, you know, beautiful wedding, beautiful everything, but they're not really married, halachically. So forget about the halacha right now. Mystically, the soul is not sitting well together. Now, there's a big problem in the United States with weddings, because first of all, half of the people, they get married civil. And if they don't get married civil, then they do a reform chuppah or a conservative chuppah, and the witnesses are not kosher, and everything is not kosher in the chuppah, so then there's not a real marriage. Now, many rabbis in our generation, they don't want to interfere in that. Because when I first saw it, this problem, is my wife's best friend got married. And they had a reform wedding, so they had a woman making the wedding. And then she asked my wife to be the witness. My wife is like, what? I can't be a witness, you know? And the friend was like, So, and my wife was like, in fact, I can't even be in the chuppah. I can't even attend the ceremony. Anyway, so I went to my rabbi at the time, it was 12 years ago, and I told him, should I go and try to educate them and tell them that what they're doing is wrong? He says, you know, better just leave it alone. Go to the wedding, don't attend the chuppah. You're not allowed to attend the chuppah, but you can be in the party, but don't do anything. And I said, why? Isn't that lo titen michshol bifnei iver? Isn't that there's a halacha in the Torah? You're not allowed to put an obstacle in front of a blind person. He says, I'll tell you what's the problem here. If they don't care right now how the chuppah is going to be done, then if chas v'shalom they get divorced, they're not going to care about a get. Now, if they did a real chuppah and now they get divorced and they don't care about a get, then they go both separate and then they both get remarried and both have kids, and these kids are mamzerim. And this is much worse, because you can't track it. I don't even know how to say a mamzer. I think a mamzer is a bastard. So, and that's...
The wedding was in America?
Yeah, yeah. So he told me, better not to even interfere. Better them not being married. And you have to understand, when the couple is not really married, every time they're together, it's a sin. They're together in intercourse. It's a sin. It's a severe sin. So it's a very big problem. So many rabbis in our generation, especially in America, in Israel, you don't have this problem, because in Israel, the Rabbanut is strict. Now they're finding all these loopholes in Israel. People go to get married in Cyprus, and now they're bringing a new Beit Din into Israel. Oh, balagan. But the last 50 years, who had this problem in Israel? The Rabbanut is like, if you're not doing it the right way, you're not giving your certificate. So in Israel, they don't have this problem. In America is the problem, because most of the weddings here, they don't really care if it's done the right way. So the result from that a husband and wife can be the real other half, but spiritually they're not married. Halachically they're not married, spiritually they're not married. Constantly friction. And then the husband is looking at somebody else and the wife is looking at somebody else, because there's no real connection. And there's a whole problem here. That's why you have such a high rate of divorce in America. Don't mean the Jewish community, forget about the entire country. So all this process will bring the couple to not sit 100% perfect. And then what happens? 40 years later, 20 years later, 10 years later, they do tshuva. Hey, now I do, now I am religious. Yeah, but you're carrying a baggage from 30 years ago. And then you come to a point, you're saying, I want to go to Israel. He doesn't want to. We don't see eye to eye. Why? It's almost like walking on a heel. That one heel is 2 millimeters more than the other. What's 2 millimeters? Yeah, but you'll start walking like that. Take train tracks now. You know the train tracks for thousands of miles, precise on the millimeter. Move the train track a thousand of a millimeter. After a couple miles, it starts splitting. So a couple need to be 100% parallel. When they're 100% parallel, there's no issues. It's very parallel to each other. It doesn't mean that everybody is always happy. I mean, sometimes my wife wants a certain thing that I'm not 100% with it. But since there's a parallel, so I'm like, okay, now it's my turn to give in. My wife now it's her time to be happy. One time I give in, sometimes she gives in. One time I give in, one time she gives in. But it's together. So it's not always 100% how I want, but if I'm 100% attached to my other half, then it's a system. So when you find down the line situations like this, now a kid is a total different thing. And even a kid, there's a certain...
No, he's more than a kid. He's 21.
I'm saying a child.
Yeah.
That's why I said here it's different, because a child is a 21, he's an adult, leave me alone, you go, I have my friends here, I have my business here, I have my life here. That's a whole different thing. Here, you have not much what to do. Because the kid is already an adult, and I know many people that they live in Israel, and the kids stayed here, and I know people that the kids are in Israel, and their parents are here. I mean, my wife, she's American, from 5 kids, 3 live in Israel, 2 live in America, and the parents live here. But 3 made Aliyah. So, it's almost any family is that. With a 21-year-old, that's not a kid, it's a man, that you don't have any control. But with your husband, and it's not only in making aliyah, it's almost in anything. In most relationships, I want this, I want that. In healthy relationships, is one time we do this, one time we do that, and one time we do the middle. That's a healthy relationship. But to give you a answer, there's no black and white answer here, because it depends, like, you know, some people, they're afraid because they're afraid they're not going to have a job. Another person is afraid because I don't know anyone there. Another person, I know the situation, especially with Aliyah, because I'm very pro move to Israel. For the last 4 or 5 years, all I do is push people to go to Israel. So I guided, Baruch Hashem, thousands of families. So I see the symptoms. Who's afraid of what? All the answers, why I don't want to go, why I shouldn't go. At the end of the day, it's only talking Lashon Hara about Israel. Exactly like the Meraglim. The Meraglim, the spies, they came back and they said, oh, it's a bad country, there's no jobs there, there's no money there. They, exactly what they say now. People now, yeah, people come now and they say Lashon Hara about Israel. In fact, Israel is 10 times better than here. Better economy, better health system, better everything is better in Israel.
How do we communicate with you through your website?
You can go through the website. I mean, I have a whole firewall of filters. You don't get directly to me right away.
I meant the email.
Yeah, you can email through the website. I have a secretary, she'll go through the emails. I mean, sometimes I get in a day 1,000 emails every day.
So
I have 3 girls, they filter all the emails.
Yes.
But if you want to get at the end of the day to me, I mean, I don't read the emails. Only if it's a private question, if you mark it that it's private, then it won't be read. Well, if you want to talk to me, then they'll schedule you an appointment, and I talk on the phone every day, Skype, phone. But you can get to me at some point, like the president.
No,
no, Baruch Hashem.
I think Farshid would like to talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Baruch Hashem, with the help of technology, then I reach a lot of people.
Yeah.
And because of that, then the reaction and the action, then the reaction is waves of messages and emails and requests. So, but I try to get to everybody and to give everybody the right attention. But there's, unfortunately for you, I don't have a good answer. I mean, I have many answers, but it depends on the husband, depends on many different things. But a smart woman knows how to, you know, it says, Isha chachama osa et ratzon ba'ala. Now people interpret, Isha chachama osa et ratzon ba'ala, a smart woman does her husband's will, sounds very chauvinistic. Like, oh, I'm supposed to do his will? But no, a smart one, she does his will because the inside will, she knows how to go around and to make sure that she manipulates in a positive way the situation, that she does what the husband wants. Men are very, very simple. They run on one frequency. Men are very, very simple. Just put a plate full of food and that's it. And a 69-inch screen, that's it. Women are very sophisticated. They work on so many different levels and components. It's much more sophisticated. Men, very simple. So as a Isha Chachama, who's a smart woman, she knows what's the will of the husband, like a little kid. I want my kid to come with me to shul, all I need to hold is a lollipop. That's it. He goes after the lollipop.
That's funny. True, but
so, the thing is that deep down inside men, they might seem strong and you know, lumpy, and the men are very insecure inside. Women, they have more intuition, they're more connected to their source. I mean, also women, I mean, it's not black and white. Don't take every word that I say black and white. But usually men tend to be like, no, I need to have a job lined up and the house has to be organized. And I see it with all the couples. You know, the woman's like, let's just go. And the husband's like, no, let's go in 3 years and we have to send, we have to save, and let's search for an apartment. And my brother-in-law did Aliyah a week ago. And they're now, and they're now staying in my house. Today I Skype with my wife. I hear all the noise in the background. So I tell my wife, no, do they have a place? She's like, no. Where are they going to live? They'll find something.
Where did they move from?
From New York.
Yeah, from New York.
So it says the same with me. I moved. We landed. I went on Airbnb. I found like something temporary for 2 weeks. And then I looked on the internet and find a place and moved in. And that's it. And that's what I tell everybody, that when you decide to make Aliyah, the job is waiting for you, the house is waiting, everything is waiting for you. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, not you. And the ones who go with 100% trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything is waiting. You go out of the airport, the taxi is already there. But that's how it is.
And you went right to a spot?
Well, no, we were 2 weeks in Netanya because my parents live there.
Yes.
We stopped there and then we went up. I mean, listen, Aliyah is not easy. I moved with 6 kids. It's not easy. People think that you land in Israel and Bibi Netanyahu comes and greets you and waves. It doesn't work like that. I mean, sometimes they send, if you go on the big trip, then they send some officials. But I especially didn't want to go on these flights. Who needs to wave flags when you come down? Let's just go home. Yeah, the whole ceremony. But some people like that ceremony. But the reality is that Aliyah is not an easy process. But you know, you have to analyze the word. Aliyah means to go up. So
you already spoke Hebrew, everything?
Well, I'm Israeli.
Oh, you're Israeli. I'm sorry. Yes.
I grew up in Eretz Israel and I left when I was 23. Now, my wife is American, but her parents are Israeli, so she speaks fluent Hebrew. And my kids, I only spoke with them in Hebrew, so they landed, they knew already Hebrew.
That's good.
So, but Bemetz, if you don't talk Lashon Hara about Israel, Israel is Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. The problem is that we talk Lashon Hara about Eretz Israel. There's bad, no money there, there's no this, there's stabbing, there's stabbing here too. There's problems everywhere. And you know what, if you put it apples to apples, Almost anything, you'll put apples to apples, you see Israel 10 times better. I mean, I have 6 kids. You know how much you used to pay tuition? There's no tuition in Israel. There's no tuition. You pay, I don't know, a couple hundred shekels for nothing, for registration, and for that's it. No tuition. Thousands of dollars here for health insurance. There's no health insurance in Israel. It's free. You pay something. You know, we now took the best of the best of the best plan. Dental, schmental, everything you want. 140 shekels a month. It's not even $40 for 8 people. So almost anything you'll compare. You know, I used to pay here for a small apartment in New York, $3,500 a month rent. Now we're paying $1,400 a month for a huge house. I mean, almost anything you look at, if you're really doing apples to apples, I mean, the only thing that really is more expensive in Israel is cars. That's it. Cars and gas. But other than that, I don't just look at how much things cost me. You know, my kids walk to school. They don't believe it. They're like, I'm walking. My 7-year-old goes to the store by himself. He's like, I can't believe it. I'm on the street by myself. One time I was walking and I happened to see my 7-year-old. And I was like, okay, I want to skip. Curious to see. So I walked on the other side of the street. He didn't notice. I'm following him for like 15 minutes. I see him like, he's like, I can't believe it. I'm 7 and I'm walking in the street. You know? Here?
How many years you been there now?
1 year.
Oh, just 1 year.
No, September 1st, 1 year.
Oh.
When we lived in New York, we lived a block and a half from the school. My daughter, my wife would walk her to school a block and a half. So Israel, everything is 10 times better. People saying, oh, security, stabbing. You know that now I helped a family doing Aliyah and they came from Chicago. And everybody was telling them, they started everything a month and a half ago and there's all the stabbing. So everybody telling them, are you crazy? It's stabbing there and killing. And it was Memorial Day. And he emailed me that day and he told me there were 66 shootings in Chicago and 3 murders. And people were telling him it's dangerous in Israel. He says, dangerous in Israel? It's dangerous here. You have to walk in the street with a bulletproof vest. Have a tzacha and everything you do, Bezrat Hashem. Come and visit me in Tzfat. I have a women's center, learning center for women.